Hi, you're listening to Terry Telford from TheBusinessProfessional.com, and today we're very lucky to have with us someone who really doesn't need any introduction at all. His name is Willie Crawford, and he's one of the Internet's biggest success stories. He's also probably one of the most approachable people as far as being one of the big success stories that you can actually talk to. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about Willie. I'm going to let him take it away, and I'd just like to say, first of all, thanks very much for your time, Willie.
Thank you, Terry. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Maybe we can just start off with your background, if you can just explain to us, you know, how you've gotten to be where you are.
Sure, and I'll start with my youth. My parents separated fairly when I was fairly young, and my mother was raising three small kids. She decided she needed to move to a bigger city where the jobs were better, so she left me and my two younger brothers with my grandmother on a farm, a tobacco farm. And we were extremely poor. She had trouble making a $300 a year house payment, basically. And there were times when we'd be out of heating oil in the middle of the winter, and we'd have I went to school with holes that had clothes that had holes in them and things like that. And but it was a normal for a lot of kids from my part of the community. And so it wasn't that unusual, but what it did was it made me decide along when I was really young that I wasn't going to be poor all my life. And so I worked hard in school, and I got good grades, and managed to get into college. And from college, wasn't sure what I wanted to do, so I entered the military, planning on just staying for a few years, but ended up making it a full military career. So I actually ended up retiring from the military. And somewhere around 1995, 96, I was getting really tired of being a soldier and wanted to do something else, and I always wanted my own business. In fact, when I was a teenager, I had both a mail order business where I did bulk mailings, and I sold stuff door to door. And so I knew that sales, you more or less controlled your own destiny. And I'd read a lot of stuff, inspirational stuff, and knew that a lot of self-made people had been successful because they were in sales. And so while in the military, I started surfing the Internet at work around about 95, and sort of crude access to the Internet. But I saw that there was money-making opportunities there, and I also knew that if I decided not to get out of the military at that time, that if I started a business, I could take it from place to place because the Internet businesses were portable. And so that's basically what got me onto the Internet. And I basically looked at all the different types of money-making opportunities, and they reminded me a lot of some of the stuff that I'd seen when I was in mail order. And so I signed up for a couple of affiliate programs, and it just grew from there.
Excellent.
Sure.
So what was your first experience then? You signed up for some affiliate programs, and then how did you promote them?
I put up a website on a free host. It was I had several. I had one at Angel Fire and one at Free Yellow, and these were just websites that said, if you want to make money on the Internet, here's how you do it, and here's some programs I recommend. Even though I hadn't made any money on them yet, I was convinced that you could, and so I recommended them, and had, 100 banners on the sites, and it was your typical banner farm, and a lot of hot air about how I thought someone could make money doing these things, and I made a few sales, but not a lot, and that continued for a while. And I started reading other people's online newsletters and kept seeing the advice that first of all you needed your own domain name because people didn't trust you if you had a website on a free domain, and I kept hearing that you needed your own niche, and that you built a website around that. And then you pick products that that audience was interested in. And so in 97, I decided to build WillieCrawford.com. I think I wrote on that first site that I chose that name because I was branding myself right at that point, and I firmly stood behind everything I represented, and so that's why I put my name on the site. Later added my picture. And then people advised me again that you needed some niche, and all I really knew really well was cooking because I was born in 59 and my grandmother was born in 1900, and so by the time I'm 7 years old, she's already in her mid-60s, and she decided it was time to teach her grandkids to do some of the cooking and cleaning and minor stuff like that so that it'd be easier on her as an old lady. And so she taught me to cook when I was fairly young, and so all my life I'd been cooking, and I thought, well, I can share my recipes with the world, and that gives the search engine something to find me from. And so I created another site with the name of chitlings.com. That's organs from pigs. And I knew that anyone who'd ever been around chitlings would know what that was, and it would be easy to remember once it was branded. And so I threw up 15 or so recipes that were country recipes, you know, macaroni and cheese and beans with different types of smoked meats and stuff like that. And then I look for affiliate products that I thought that audience would be interested in. And that site, I'd say within a month, was getting literally thousands of visitors just because it was so unique and the word just spread so fast.
Wow!
Yeah, it just took off right on its own. And I knew the pages would track the search engines, and I did submit them to all the search engines manually, but it just took off. And I'd read that you needed a list to stay in contact with people, so I offered a recipe exchange list from that site, and from WoolieCrawford.com, I offered a marketing list. And one of my favorite people back about that time was Jim Daniels. He wrote a book called Insider Internet Marketing, and I read that, and he, you know, I liked his style. I was a subscriber to his newsletter, loved his style, so I decided I'd write my articles similar to his style, where it sounds like he's just sitting across the table from a nephew or something giving him advice. And that's what I've done. And since then, I've probably written 250, 300 articles, almost all just me talking to people, saying, "Here's how you do it."
And how important are articles then, as far as your marketing? Is that a big part of your marketing?
It is a very big part of my marketing, because I honestly share with people what I've learned through different tests, what I've learned from talking to people, and. First of all, it gives me a tremendous number of links and a lot of leverage in the search engines. It builds trust, and it's a soft sell technique. You know, you can recommend something in the article without really saying, "Here, buy this." You can say, "You know, this is what I do, and it works for me. And if you want to buy it, here's a link. But if you don't want to buy it, that's fine too."
Sure.
So that works very well for me.
So, do you make a lot of sales from articles, or is it kind of minimal?
It depends on what I'm promoting. One of my things is, before I write the first word of an article, I have some motive for writing the article. You know, and it could just be to rant and rave, but a lot of times it is to promote a product and tell why I recommend that product. And when I do that, I make a lot of sales. And I'll give you an example. One of the products I'm fairly heavily promoting right now is actually a network marketing business. And when I decided to, I decided to promote it because I really, really liked it. Out of all the hundreds of network marketing businesses I've looked at since 1996, it was not until 2004 that I found one I really liked.
Right.
And so,
which one is that?
That's a Retire Quickly Corporation.
Okay.
And their product is designed to teach people to, first of all, get completely out of debt, and then it's designed to teach you to build a residual income, because one of the secrets of the rich is that they, first of all, don't spend their capital. They you know, live off the interest. And another one is that they have residual income. They're not trading their time for money. And it sort of, to retire quickly, sort of sets people up to do that. Although in my advertisements, I don't advertise to retire quickly. I advertise profitmagician.com,
right.
which just redirects to my URL. But back to the article, I wrote an article, and in the article for that particular one, I explained why most network marketing websites don't work, i.e., you look at the site and you have no clue what they're selling or offering, what the product is. You're trying to guess what's being sold, and all you hear is a lot of it talk about the opportunity, or it's just not explained what they're selling, and there's no...
Willie?
Yeah, there's no explanation. Yeah, my phone beeps if there's a call trying to come in. I should turn that off. But there's no explanation of who is behind the site, and there's just, you know, a lot of things like that. What I basically did with that article was I used a classic advertising technique, which is you tell a customer what he should look for in a product, and then you make it so that your product is the only one that fits that criteria.
Right.
And so that article itself signed up probably 20 people inside of 2 weeks for a company where, well, I signed up so many people that I was number two in the company for that month.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's how effective article writing can be.
Can you take me through a process then of exactly, for example, now you can use the site that you just mentioned, the Retire Quickly.
Right.
How do you start off your article? Do you kind of put a bunch of bullet points and then kind of flesh it out from there, or how does it work?
Yes, that's exactly how I do it. I decide in my mind what my main point's going to be, and then I come up with three or four sub-points. And I make notes to myself of what I'd like to get across, just notes. I mean, I may put it aside for a day or two or even longer and then go back to it and see what new thoughts come to me.
Right.
And then it just flows. It's extremely easy for me to write an article. I also, as I'm surfing discussion forums or as I'm reading newsletters or even talking to people on the phone, I'm constantly thinking of things that I can turn into articles. You know, I wrote one article on that I called it "Are You a Pelican Marketer?"
Okay.
And I was sitting by the sea or the ocean and watching this pelicans fish, and they would fly over and they would just look down at the fish and they would dive straight down at them and grab the fish. Well, what happens is the pelican hits the water with his eyes open, and that water pressure over time blinds the pelican. And so if they live long enough, they eventually starve to death because they can no longer see the fish.
Oh, son of a gun.
Yeah. So then I relate that to marketers who do things that basically get rid of their customers. You know, that it's things to make a one-time sale or even several sales, but in the long term, they blind themselves and they don't make any sales, you know. So I write articles like that, too, that people can relate to, and there's a story, that a message is easy to remember.
What a great analogy.
Yeah, and a lot of publishers, you know, love those types of articles, and they'll run them for you. So that's why I see a lot of it. Another example is I was driving down the highway, and I saw these kids holding up a sign for a car wash, and you couldn't read the sign because when they made the sign, it was very easy for them to read since they were so close. But someone driving in a car at 50 miles per hour can't read the sign. And so I wrote another sign about how marketers that their messages aren't effective because it doesn't interrupt and the message isn't gotten across. And another analogy from real life. And so articles for me are fairly easy. It's just look at something and see how I can turn it into a marketing article, or listen to an online discussion and see how I can turn it into a marketing article.
Excellent. So once you've got the article written, how do you get it out there? Do you physically send it to individual e-zines?
No, I don't, because that's too labor-intensive. What I do is I use one of several article submission services. There's one called E-Zine Trends. That's EZINETRENDZ.com. And they submit my article to roughly 600 publishers. There's two others I use. There's one called the Phantom Writers, and there's another one called Submit Your Article, thephantomwriter.com and submityouarticle.com. And both of those, I don't know what their publisher base is, but they charge anywhere, they average $15 per article. So I write an article and proofread it and put it aside and go back and read it again and refine it several times. Then I send it to them, and they blast it out to their list of publishers. And it never fails that the same day it goes out, I may get 20 to 30 emails saying we're going to use your article, and I get another 10 that says we posted it on your site. And so it works for me, you know.
So do you use all three services each time?
I use all three services, not with every article, but some weeks I'll write two, maybe even three articles, depending on how I'm feeling. I do this full time, so I can sit around the beach and watch the pelicans and come up with something, you know. And I always have a pad and paper with me or a laptop.
Fantastic.
You know, so I sit and watch kids playing on the beach and watch the clouds roll by, and I'm writing.
So you mentioned just kind of switch topics a little
bit. Sure.
You mentioned branding before. The WillieCrawford.com site was for branding, and the articles are for branding. Is that a really important part of your marketing?
It is, and that the biggest reason people don't buy from you on the internet, even if they want what you have, and they know they need what you have, is that they don't trust you. So branding builds that trust. I mean, people are so afraid of pulling their credit card out and entering some information into a web page and then never hearing from someone, you know, just having them steal their money. And so I was taught by Wanda Lascott, who used to have a marketing discussion forum. She encouraged me to put my picture on my website. And she says it doesn't matter what you look like, and it doesn't matter whether or not people like you. She says not everyone's going to like you, but those who do like you or connect with you somehow, the picture helps. And she pushed me to put my picture there. And so the picture on my site in a lot of places is probably 10 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And yet it's a brand now, you know. And so I've done newer pictures, but I haven't posted them yet.
Right.
Yeah, just a little more gray hair, a little fatter.
Now, if we can take you back to your cookbook.
Okay.
The one that you wrote. It's called Soul Food, right?
It's called Soul Food Recipes, and then the subtitle is Learned on a North Carolina Tobacco Farm.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, how did you end up actually going about writing the cookbook? Did you physically take the recipes and go and take a picture, or how did that work?
The book has very few pictures. It has a lot of illustrations. But what happened was, I had this site up, and people were going to it, and then they were my recipe exchange list. That's the mailing list that went out from the site. Was compiled actually of recipes from website visitors. People would visit the site, join the list, and they could mail in a recipe, and we'd compile those recipes or requests for recipes into a daily list that went out to the entire subscriber base. In a lot of those subscribers' minds, they started attributing the recipes to me, I guess. You know, they'd get a daily list of recipes, and they're really great, and they'd think, well, Willie must really know how to cook. At the same time, I did have recipes on the site that people really liked, and I got a lot of positive feedback on those that were mine. So they asked me if I had I kept getting emails asking if I had a cookbook, and I said no, and I asked in one of my newsletters if people were interested in a cookbook, and I had a lot of people say they would buy it from me if I wrote one. And
wow.
So I announced that I was writing a cookbook and taking advance orders just to confirm there was sufficient demand. And I had about 100 orders before I started writing.
Wow.
And so all I did was sit down and make a list of what I thought were appropriate recipes for that genre of cooking. And then I looked through my notes at what recipes I had, and the ones that I didn't have, I just researched them. I mean, you know, everybody has a fried chicken recipe or a pound cake recipe, and so the ones that I knew from childhood, from memory, because all of them weren't written down, I just prepared those and tested them. And then I researched the ones that I thought would fit into the category that I didn't have. And I just made a list of recipes, typed them out in Microsoft Word, found some illustrations to go with the book. I didn't want to do it in color, first of all, because that would have made it more expensive. And I was operating on a limited budget at the time, and I didn't want too many pictures in it. I'd taken some of my own pictures, and I didn't like the way they turned out. And so I just went with the black and white book. I found a graphic artist on Elance who did a cover for me for, I think it was less than $100, front and back cover that has about the author section with a picture of me holding my dog and all kinds of stuff.
All right.
Yeah, and it turned out well. And so I contacted a printer in a nearby city and got a quote, and turned out that if I had at least 3,000 copies done, it cost me about $1 a copy.
Wow.
And I sell this book now at $16 a copy, plus postage and handling. And so I have an affiliate program that pays 35%, but the copies I sell myself, it's about $15 profit after all of my cost. So very, very lucrative.
So that's quite unique, because a lot of people online aren't also working offline, but you have this printed book. Now, how do you go about combining the two?
Well, first of all, with a cookbook, I sell the PDF version too, but people want something they can take in the kitchen, and by the time they print it and bind it and everything, a lot of them would just prefer to have the printed version, and so it made sense for me there. People on a tight budget may not want to print up a bunch of books and be stuck with them in the garage or whatever, but how do I combine internet marketing, you're asking, with the cookbook, maybe?
Yeah, now you've got 3,000 cookbooks sitting in your garage. How do you get rid of them?
Every issue of my newsletter, recipe list that goes out, has a sponsor advertisement at the top and the bottom, and those are usually for my products, and one of those is usually for my cookbook. And I'm a fairly decent copywriter now, and so I have this web page with all kinds of great testimonials and a list of every recipe in the book, and I have pretty extensive search engine penetration right now. And so if you go to any search engine, any search engine on the internet, and you type in the word soul food or soul food recipes, I'm probably in the top three. And I mean that's wow. Google, that's Yahoo, that's all of them. So that drives my sales now, that plus the affiliate program. And it's people are searching for rare or exotic recipes. They type in their recipe. There's a good chance that just because of all the content on my site that it pops up now.
Okay. So on the cookbook side then, search engines and your affiliates are basically the ones that are selling the cookbook.
I sell more than the affiliates do through my mailing list. I have about 45,000 subscribers to the recipe list right now.
Wow.
And it writes itself. I mean, it goes out twice a day now. It's just people submitting recipes because you've got so many members. One person will ask for a recipe for something they had remembered as a child, and then 20 people sent in the recipe.
Right.
And so it's actually a lot. I have a moderator who basically decides which recipes go in first, there are people who just completely flood the list, and so we have to control that too. But it just runs itself. It's every day people look forward to getting this email first thing in the morning and sometime midday, and it brings them a lot of joy and satisfaction. You know, maybe people are shut in or just people who like to start their day by looking at a bunch of recipes and deciding what to fix for the day. And because of the positive feeling it creates, a lot of those people, you know, will order the cookbook. You know, they attribute the joy in sharing recipes to me and my site, and that sells cookbooks.
Fantastic. You just actually touched on something that I think is very important, and that is that you're bringing joy and a lot of positive feelings to people. Is that something that you actually go out and try to accomplish?
It is. I mean, I don't believe in doing anything that doesn't benefit all concerned, and so I look at something that adds value to people's lives, and I make sure that whatever I'm doing is adding value and actually improving people's lives. I get people coming to me all the time with products that they want me to help them promote. I look at the product, and I don't get a good feel for it. I don't get good vibes from it, and so I won't promote those. You know,
right.
It has to be something that I'm convinced is going to improve people's lives and make them happier, yes.
Excellent. Has that been a part of the success of your business?
It has. I mean, I just look at the fact that I'm only going to live once, and I could do things to make a quick buck if I wanted to, but that would make you the one-time sale, and the person would never buy from you again, so you'd be constantly looking for new customers. But as it stands now, I get customers that buy from me over and over and over again. And I have customers that have probably spent $5,000 from me. That's probably about the most any spent it over the years. But I have customers who, you know, repeatedly will spend $1,000 on a purchase with me.
Fantastic. Now, you've done the cookbook, and that's running on its own. That's one income stream. What was
right. Next? I went back to my marketing site and developed it more. I spent a lot of time on the discussion forums, and one of the things I pointed out was how I had finally broken out of the pack and managed to succeed in a niche, and sort of hinted at how much money I was earning from my cookbook and things like that. And what that did was that caused all the other successful internet marketers to take notice of me, and so they invited me to become a speaker at seminars and things like that. They sort of said, "Oh, you're one of us now," and reached over and pulled me and invited me into their circle. Bob Silver was the first person to invite me to speak at a seminar, and it was a bit of a surprise, but he was just looking for examples of people who had actually, you know, who were actually successful online, and it was his first seminar, and I was honored, and I just put together a quick presentation that went over quite well. And so what that did was that gave me one credential, you know, and anyone who could say I spoke at a seminar got a credential. I looked for a way to, I had this audience who was my mailing list from my marketing site wasn't as large as my mailing list from my recipe site, so I looked for ways to monetize the recipe list more than the marketing list, the internet marketing list. And so I realized there's lots of people on the recipe list who are looking for ways to improve their lives, looking for ways to make money. So usually one of the ads running in my recipe list is for a marketing-related product or a how-to-start-a-home-business type product.
Right.
So that's why I get crossover there. But I actually, when I first started building my internet marketing site, I posted to the Link Exchange Digest that I was building a huge directory of articles and that I wanted to provide people with recent articles on how to build a good business. And the moderator of the Link Exchange Digest, which had about 80,000 subscribers at the time, you know, approved my post, and within a week I had maybe 200 articles submitted to me.
Wow.
And many of those articles are still on my site. They're out of date now, but they're still on the site. And that was actually before I made my site, WillieCrawford.com. And the folks at the Link Exchange Digest were one of the ones, were some of the people telling me I needed my own domain name, and that prompted me to get WillieCrawford.com. And at the same time, I was using Hotmail, and they told me that looked unprofessional. And they told me, and there were people indicating to me in email that they wanted to buy the stuff I was selling, but they didn't trust me. I mean, they literally said that, you know, that, you know, anybody that's using a Hotmail address that they can just ditch the next day, you know, it's not trustworthy.
Right.
And so I just looked for a handful of products that I could promote, and I did it for my site, and I basically had articles running, which brought in the search engine traffic, and on the article pages, I back then just had a banner at the top or the bottom that promoted some product, and people bought them. They didn't buy a lot at first, but it just gradually picked up steam.
Beautiful.